Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is an iHeart Original.
It was the summer of 2016, and the whole world had gone crazy for Pokemon Go. In city parks and on suburban streets, groups of geeked-out strangers clutched their phones while chasing down virtual characters. If you don't remember, Pokemon Go was a legitimate cultural phenomenon. Hundreds of millions of people downloaded the game. There were news reports of distracted Pokemon Go players walking off cliffs. Highway signs warned, "Drive now, catch Pokemon later." Sure, there had been popular mobile games before. Let's not forget, they made Angry Birds into a movie. Two of them. But there was something different about Pokemon Go. All you had to do was step outside, open the app, and your phone became a magical window into a hidden world. Pokemon Go is still going today. Millions of Pokemon trainers are still catching Pokemon in the wild and battling each other at PokeGyms. But there was something truly special when Pokemon Go first took the world by storm. All these years later, it's easy to forget the craziest fact about the crazy popularity of Pokemon Go: that the whole thing began as a joke. And not just any joke, but an April Fool's joke. Welcome to Very Special Episodes, an iHeart Original podcast. I'm your host, Dana Schwartz, and this is April Fool's Gold, the story of Pokemon Go.
Happy April Fool's Day, everybody. I'm Jason English, welcoming you to Very Special Episodes. Now, we are not what you would call a timely show. In recent weeks, we spent time on the set of James Cameron's Titanic, the night someone poisoned the cast and crew. We tried to track down a moon rock that went missing in the late 70s. We recounted an old Soviet botany rivalry from the Stalin era. That's all by design. I'm a firm believer that being interesting is more important than being timely. But on occasion, we hit on a story idea that does line up with a specific date. So when producer Josh Fisher and writer Dave Roos pitched today's topic, we realized the 10th anniversary was mere weeks away. So this week's episode is both interesting and timely. A twofer. I'm going to let Dana take it from here.
Our story begins on April 1st, 2011, when a young man named Tatsuo Nomura showed up for his first day of work at Google Japan. Tatsuo didn't know it, but April Fool's Day was a really big deal at Google. For many years, Google used April 1st to roll out a litany of fake Google products. There was Google Gulp, a, quote, smart drink that enhanced your intelligence, and Google Romance, powered by Google's trademarked Soulmate Search technology. There was even a feature called Ad Birds that promised to put your ads on birds, who would then fly around. It didn't take long for Tatsuo to get in on the fun. He was working on Google Maps at the time. So on April Fool's Day 2012, he came up with his first joke product, an old-school Nintendo version of Google Maps. Here's Tatsuo.
I came up with this idea to turn the Google Maps into the old-fashioned Nintendo, classic Nintendo 8-bit style. And I made a demo prototype for it and showed it around, and people really loved it. And the following year, people would ask me what I would do, and I would come up with ideas. And so I sort of became this April Fool's guy.
In 2014, Tatsuo moved to California to work for Google USA. He was still on the Google Maps team, putting in long hours launching a new version of the Google Maps mobile app. He didn't really want to get involved with another prank product, because it meant even more work creating something that's funny for like a day, and then everyone forgets about. But Tatsuo's reputation as the April Fool's guy followed him to America, and the Google Maps team roped him in. They were looking for a new joke idea that encouraged users to explore the fancy new map they just launched. Someone came up with the idea of collecting things on Google Maps. Okay, but collecting what?
And some ideas we came up was, you know, Hello Kitty? Like if you go to different places, they have that city-themed Hello Kitty. And we talked about that. We also talked about Dragon Ball. You have, you know, 7 Dragon Ball. You pan around, you find them. And it was during that brainstorming, I came up with Pokemon. I mean, what do you collect Pokemon, right? It was quite natural. I was also just by chance staying next to Pokemon Center. It's like a Pokemon store. Every morning I go to the office, I will pass by that store. So it was kind of natural to come up with that idea.
Just like that, Tatsuo found himself creating a new April Fool's game for Google Maps. They called it the Pokemon Challenge. Tatsuo was a software developer, not a game designer. But he was also a 90s kid who grew up playing the original Pokemon video game on his Game Boy. So making this fake Pokemon game was also kind of a dream job. The object of Pokemon is, of course, to catch them all. So that's how Tatsuo designed the Pokemon Challenge. He hid 150 Pokemon inside Google Maps in different locations around the globe. The hiding spots weren't completely random, Tatsuo says.
I didn't want it to be hard, but it had to be interesting. I think that was what I wanted. And just like the original Pokemon, if you wanted to catch them all, you know, you got to make some effort to catch them all. So there were 150 Pokemon in that Pokemon challenge. And they were located at places like, if you go to a volcano in Hawaii, you'll find a Charizard there. And if you go to a power plant, you might find a Pikachu. We really tried to make it interesting for people to look around.
To actually win the game, though, Tatsuo wanted that to be a true challenge. He knew that gamers would immediately go online and post spoilers with the locations of each Pokemon as they were found. So he added one final Pokemon who didn't play by the rules, the legendary Mew. Only after a player had already caught all 150 Pokemon could they start searching for Mew. To really test their catching skills, Tatsuo hid Mew deep in the Amazon jungle. But knowing that people would reveal Mew's location online, Tatsuo programmed in an ingenious twist.
So all other Pokemon, they had static location. This Mew is static, but it's different per person. So you will find Mew at a different location than other people.
When it came time to launch the game, Google's marketing department produced a flashy video trailer. The joke was that Google Maps was looking to hire an official Pokemon master. To weed out applicants, they created the Pokemon Challenge.
It's always been important to us to have the most qualified employees at Google. Now, using the technology created by the Google Maps team, we've prepared the most rigorous test known to man to find the world's best Pokemon master.
The trailer was a Hollywood-style production complete with special effects. It showed intrepid Pokemon masters scaling cliffs and sailing the ocean to catch rare Pokemon. But unlike Tatsuo's game, where Pokemon were caught with a simple click on Google Maps, the trailer showed Pokemon masters using their phones to actually see live Pokemon in the wild and capture them with Pokeballs. There was even a shot of a man in a business suit on a busy sidewalk, clutching his phone and frantically waving around at an imaginary Pokemon, a portent of things to come. For April Fool's Day 2014, Tatsuo's Pokemon Challenge was released to the world. And one of the people who remembers playing the game that day is Stephen Oz. Stephen was just a teenager back then, but he thought it was brilliant.
Once you updated the app, the little guy that you drop on the pin, to see like a 3D view, you've seen him dressed as Professor Oak, and he's all like saying, hey, we need you to help find all of these Pokemon spread all over the world. And I'm like, I thought this was like the greatest day since Google Maps did the Pac-Man version of Google Maps.
Steven played the Pokemon Challenge on Google Maps for hours and, with the help of some online tips, found all 150 hidden Pokemon. Just as Tatsuo had planned, though, capturing the mythical Mew in the Amazon jungle was almost impossible. But Steven persevered and eventually caught them all. Winning the game was fun for Steven, but the real prize came a few months later. Tatsuo and the Google Maps team decided to reward all the winners with actual Google Pokemon Master business cards with their names on them, along with a signed letter from Tatsuo.
That was amazing. That was like being validated for being a Pokemon fan. I never expected that in my life, of being a Pokemon master. And man, I showed them off to everyone. Those cards are my prized possession. It felt fun. It felt like something new and exciting in the world of Pokemon.
April Fool's 2014 came and went. Tatsuo returned to his day job at Google Maps. But his mind kept coming back to the Pokemon Challenge. Sure, he made the game as an April Fool's joke, a one-off gag, but like Steven, Tatsuo felt the game offered something new and different from other Pokemon games. Could this joke become something real?
I did think about making this a real game. It took, I think, three, four months to prepare just for this, few days joke. So it was a lot of work. And every year you make so much effort, and after a few days, people forget about it and it's gone. So naturally, I was always hoping one of these will become something serious.
That's when Tatsuo got the phone call that changed the course of his career and altered the course of gaming history.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky, smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
This is it. your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When the Taliban banned music in Afghanistan, millions were plunged into silence. Radios were smashed, cassettes burned. You could be beaten or jailed or killed for breaking the rules. And yet, Afghans did it anyway. This is the story of how a group of people brought music back to Afghanistan by creating their own version of American Idol. The danger they endured.
They said my head should be cut off.
The joy they brought to the nation.
You're free completely. No one is there to destroy you.
I'm John Legend. Listen to Afghan Star on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tatsuo Nomura got a call from a friend, Masa Kawashima. Masa was working for a small gaming startup called Niantic Labs. Niantic was actually part of Google at the time. Masa and Niantic were making augmented reality games, games that blended real-world and virtual elements. Niantic's big AR game at the time was Ingress. It was a location-based game. To play it, you opened the app on your phone and walked around outside. The goal was to capture portals hidden in real-world locations and do battle with other players. Masa had seen the Hollywood-style YouTube trailer for the Pokemon Challenge. He told Tatsuo that the version of the game being played in the trailer looked exactly like a Pokemon version of Ingress. Of course, real-world locations, capturing Pokemon, doing battle with other Pokemon trainers, all the pieces started falling into place. Call it a Eureka moment, an epiphany, a revelation from the gaming gods. In that moment, Pokemon Go was born. Within weeks, Tatsuo and Niantic were in Japan pitching the idea to the Pokemon Company and Nintendo. Within a few months, Tatsuo was working full-time for Niantic. The next year, Niantic broke off from Google as an independent company, betting its future almost entirely on the success of Pokemon Go, a game that started as an April Fool's joke. We now know how that future turned out. When Pokemon Go finally launched in 2016, it wasn't just the biggest thing in mobile gaming, it was the biggest thing in the world. In just 1 week, the market value of Nintendo, which owned a stake in the game, jumped by $9 billion, with a B. At the 2016 Summer Olympics in Brazil, a Japanese athlete racked up $5,000 in roaming charges from playing Pokemon Go on his phone. Starbucks issued a special drink called the Pokemon Go Frappuccino, featuring raspberry syrup and freeze-dried blackberries. Presidential hopeful Hillary Clinton, attempting to piggyback on the game's popularity, held a campaign event at a Pokemon gym in Ohio, where she famously asked people to Pokemon Go to the polls. In the first year alone, Pokemon Go was downloaded 750 million times. The game had made billions of dollars for Niantic, the tiny startup that took a big bet on an April Fool's joke. John Walker never thought he was going to be a Pokemon Go fan. A gaming journalist from the UK, John was already in college when the original Pokemon games and cartoons came out in the 90s.
So back in 2016, I knew nothing, absolutely nothing about Pokemon. Like, I could maybe name you Pikachu. And I had no clue at all about the whole thing.
John didn't discover Pokemon Go until 2020, when COVID lockdowns forced him and his very active 5-year-old son indoors.
And so we were trying to think of reasons to go out, and he was going for a walk wasn't something that interested him nor any other 5-year-old. And then I remembered this Pokemon Go thing, so I showed it to him and he instantly loved it. And so we went out and we walked, and it was just magic. We went outside and all these Pokemon that we didn't really know to care about at the time were appearing in real life. And to him, this was just unbelievable. And it ended up becoming a thing where we would, don't tell the government, but we would spend more than an hour out. He would go for 3-hour walks, a 5-year-old going on 3-hour walks, purely motivated by getting to the next Pokestop and the next Pokegym and the next, ticking off the next task off the list.
John says that his son Toby became absolutely obsessed with catching Mewtwo. They tried for months to beat a character named Giovanni, who had a Mewtwo, but they always came up short. John and Toby were ready to give up after a long day of playing in a special Pokemon Go live event.
I think the event came to an end at 6 p.m. and I remember we were sat on this chair in his room just having one last go. Because the hot air balloon that he was in just happened to hover into the game, and we clicked on it and we tried one more time and we did it. We won the Mewtwo, like, with, you know, it was a kind of sports movie ending, seconds to spare. And we both cried. I remember I was so relieved for his happiness, and he was so overwhelmed with happiness. At the time, it was the most precious thing, and it was just such an awesome moment.
10 years ago today, Tatsuo Nomura released an April Fool's joke that has brought joy and obsession and long walks with 5-year-olds to hundreds of millions of people the world over. Tatsuo still works for Niantic, where he's created and launched other popular AR games. One is called Pikmin Bloom, a kind of step counter powered by imaginary friends. Another is Monster Hunter Now, in which you hunt monsters now. Neither has been as world-changing as Pokemon Go, but that's okay. Lightning almost never strikes twice, unless you're Pikachu. So, happy April Fool's Day, everyone, and who knows? Maybe some lame gag you pull at work today will still be a global phenomenon 10 years from now.
Very Special Episodes is made by some very special people. This show is hosted by Danish Schwartz, Zarin Burnett, and me, Jason English. This episode was written by Dave Roos. Our producer, editor, and sound designer is Josh Fisher. Additional editing by Jonathan Washington. Mixing and mastering by Bahid Frazier. Our story editor is Marissa Brown. Original music by Elise McCoy. Research and fact-checking by Austin Thompson. Show logo by Lucy Quintanilla. I am your executive producer, and we'll see you back here next week. If you like this show, go give us a nice little rating on Apple or wherever you're listening. Very Special Episodes is a production of iHeart Podcasts.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
This is the story of how a group of people brought music back to Afghanistan by creating their own version of American Idol. The joy they brought to the nation.
You're free completely. No one is there to destroy you.
The danger they endured.
They said my head should be cut off.
I'm John Legend. Listen to Afghan Star on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.